It's a Tech Tuesday, you know that, because it is Tuesday, and we have Bridget Carey on the line, senior editor at CNET. How are you, Bridget?
Hey, doing all right.
Bridget, that's please you. Tell me you saw Last Week Tonight on HBO as they took down the Equifax scandal, John Oliver's show on Sunday night. Did you see it by any chance?
I have to, I guess.
Oh, it's so good.
No,
it's
I'm
so
not
good.
I'm not cool enough to see things when they air.
It's so good. And they say, John Oliver's piece explains that any of these other ancillary companies, like if you've had your information breached through Equifax, if you go through another company to hold it or freeze it or correct it, those people then end up referring back to Equifax, Equifax making money off the transaction.
Wow.
Very frustrating.
It is really upsetting when you have so many layers of loss of control and a company that essentially is profiting off everyone's information, whether you want them or not. Like you don't get to choose to be a customer necessarily. You know, this is one of these situations where you're like, okay, great. I didn't even give you, you know, this information and
right.
have my credit in your hands.
Well, people said on the show, they talked to various people connected with the story, and they said that this is something that will haunt people who were breached for the rest of their lives, not for a year or 5 years or 10 years, but forever, that people who have this information, you know, it's your Social Security number, it's your birth date, it's all that information, that you'll never be safe from this.
I went on Equifax's website, and it said I was involved, like my information is probably out there, and that they'll get back to me sometime about a free credit report service. Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
There needs to be more accountability here with this kind of responsibility.
Bridget, I have to tell you, I typed in my name and Social Security number, and it says, yes, your information may have been breached. And then I typed in my husband's info and social. And then I just thought, for a goof, I'm going to put Snyder as my last name and Social Security number 12345678 9, and it popped up. Your information may have been breached, and there's no way anybody has that Social Security number.
Right. And I saw some high-end security researchers at the time say they're getting false positives too. So you don't even know what to believe. These people don't have their act together at all. I'm kind of optimistic that maybe in a few years there will be something else to replace the Social Security number, because the way our system and environment is now, Social Security number was never invented to be like the one super secure identity in this kind of internet world we live in now, right? And
yeah.
And with documents flying everywhere from doctor's offices and banking systems. And so if there is something else that can be invented that fits better with how everything is electronic now, that would be fantastic.
Bill, I know, Bridget, you're too young for this, but when I first got my driver's license, you could put your Social Security number
yeah.
on the license
mm-hmm.
for all the world to see.
You know, the driver's license is now one of the few things that you also still want to keep safe, and yet that was also involved in a lot of hacks now lately, too. So,
all right, speaking of security flaws, explain what this crack security flaw is all about.
Well, aside from its funny name and being called a crack attack, this actually is a bit of a doozy. It affects practically every single machine that uses Wi-Fi. And what happened, it sounds pretty spooky, so I'm going to tell you what it does, and I'm going to give you the reality check. This is not a flaw in a particular type of laptop or type of computer. This is a flaw in how wireless systems talk to each other. It's WPA2 security. So when you put a password into your Wi-Fi, it uses a certain type of protocol. And one researcher said, hey, I found that there is a flaw in this. I can trick the machine that if I'm nearby enough to connect to you wirelessly, I have a script where I can trick the machine so that I can spy on everything you're doing. I can see everything you're typing in, whether that's a password to a website or a conversation you're having. So nothing you do over the internet connection that I'm nearby is encrypted. And this affects Android, Windows, Apple. They said that Android machines are more vulnerable because it's much easier to do than, say, breaking into an iOS device. But nevertheless, every single thing has this flaw. And the answer for us, because, okay, now what do you do, is to wait for every company to send out a patch to fix this.
That'll be easy.
Yeah. Right. Here's the good and the bad of that. The good is this researcher, before going public with this, he privately told all these manufacturers, companies like Google said in the coming weeks they'll be rolling out updates. Apple, too, had to say that they were going to roll out a fix. So you as a consumer really have to worry about making sure your laptop and your smartphone are updated. But we have a lot of things in our house that are connected to Wi-Fi. Sometimes your car is even connected to Wi-Fi, or a TV, or a smart light bulb. And are you really going to, like, download an update for your smart light bulb? Probably not. So, but then who's going to take advantage of this? For a hacker to use this, they have to be within your it has to be like the distance of your neighbor, right? Mm-hmm. So unless you have a really sneaky hacker neighbor.
Which we do.
Okay. Yeah. Well, right. You know, so that's why it's most important to keep things you do when you travel, like your laptops and your smartphones, make sure they're updated whenever there is the next security update for those machines. But otherwise, if you have like a TV that you don't know if it's updated, don't go putting sensitive stuff on there if you are suspicious of your hacker neighbors, is how I would put it.
Good advice. Solid.
How safe are
you? I want to actually use this against people as they know of yet. It's more like one security researcher found some flaw that no one else really knew was possible that we know of.
I get kind of leery sometimes, like if I'm at the Toyota dealer waiting for my car to be fixed and you can, you know, jump onto their free Wi-Fi. And here at work, I guess I trust this a little more, but Starbucks, is it cool to use those free Wi-Fis? Is there any way somebody could get in and compromise your information by using those?
Okay, separate conversation from this attack, and the answer is no, it's not good. But here's what I would limit things to. When you're on a free Wi-Fi at the hotel, at the Starbucks, whatever you send over that Wi-Fi is usually what, can become. And nevertheless, too, if someone's really good and you happen to be next to someone who's a hacker at that coffee shop, they could probably go really deep into your computer, send you something. You know, it depends how much effort they're going to put into this, you know. But for the quick answer, if someone wants to just kind of be a spy and observe what you're doing, yes, they can observe what you're doing. So don't go checking into your flight and putting in your passport number. You know, don't go shopping and putting in your credit card number when you're on these free Wi-Fis. Definitely always a big no.
That is some great advice. We appreciate it.
Bridget, thanks so much. Hope you have a great rest of the week.
Thanks. Talk to you guys later.
Bridget Carey from CNET. Go to CNET.com. All the info is right there. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.